You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, I'm Tane.
And I'm Aid, and this is Alter Call, a Married at First Sight podcast. Hello, everybody. We recorded this episode of Traitors Season 2 for Patreon, but we decided to share it with you guys this week while we're out. And just a reminder that next week's episode will be delayed too, but we will be excited to share our thoughts on Chloe and Michael's decision day and everything else that happens next week. So just watch out for a later than usual episode next week and enjoy this coverage of Season 2 of The Traitors. Bye.
Hi guys, welcome to another bonus episode, and today we will be talking about The Traitors US Season 2. Hi Aid, how are you?
I'm great, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to talk about Traitors. I was so excited when you decided to watch Traitors, and yay, I can't wait.
And, you know, many of our listeners, I'm sure, are like, why would Tane be excited that she watched Traitors? It's not my style of reality television, nor do I plan to, like, watch The Challenge or Survivor. I'm not doing all that. I think The Traitors just had that Bravo tie-in, and that brought me in, and therefore I like it.
Yeah, you did watch season one, but we didn't talk about it, I believe. We didn't do an episode on that. I think we just talked about it in passing. But something about what you just mentioned, having it be... So the difference between season one and season two is now all reality TV stars from all different shows. And I think something about the casting this year made people want to watch it, because I don't think I got this reaction for season one. I know personally a lot more people who decided to watch The Traitors or were intrigued by it because there was a lot of chatter. I was about to say because they heard about it, but they're my friends, but they're watching because I wouldn't shut up about it, and partly because CT. So they're just like, okay, let's check out what this girl is talking about. But for the most part, it lived up to the hype. I haven't had anyone come back and say, this is so boring. Why did you hype this up so much? Like, I just think it was so good this season.
It was. I do want to tell our listeners, we did cover Traitors season one. It's a bonus episode here on Patreon.
I'm sorry.
Check that out.
You guys, I apologize for my memory. Like, honestly, I had no recollection that we covered that. I'm sorry. Go check it out. We covered season one. I'm sorry.
And I mean, we did the same thing we're doing here, which is doing one episode after everything is done, which is a good thing, I think, because I couldn't listen to any of the episode by episode recaps. I don't think it's that. Like, I like Traitors, but I don't know if I want to go over every episode.
I did. I think it is. I mean, I don't think you listen to the Rahap network. They cover almost every reality show ever, but I think theirs is pretty good. And I found like a new podcast called Free Agents. They cover that too. So it was fun. I enjoyed them talking about it. It's just not as long as the others, but again, who needs a long podcast? All right. So starting from the very top, what are your thoughts? Where do you stand on season one, where it was half reality, half commoners, or season two, where it's an even playing field? Well, even in quotes, but all reality show stars.
So the thing is, as a viewer, I would say a full 50% of the people who they brought on, I have not watched on TV before. So okay. I understand that they are like part of the reality TV world, but I don't have any impressions of them like I do with the Bravo people who I've seen on other shows.
Okay. Yeah. for me, I think it's fantastic. I think they should never make it half and half anymore. I think it should completely be reality show stars. And the reason why I said in quotes is because what they did this time, because it wasn't really the majority in season one, but what they did this time is they had a whole bunch of gamers. So they had a whole bunch of challenge people, a whole bunch of survivor people. And where would you put The Bachelor? Is it a gaming show or not? It kind of is a game.
It is a game. It's a competition.
It is a competition for love. But they did that. But I think Larsa, oh my God, I'm about to say what Larsa said. But I agree with what she said at the reunion, where she said there's just a different mentality because the people that come from the competitive show, they are coming here and they're ready to play and they will do anything. They play differently. And the people that are coming from the Housewives, they're just wanting to be on TV and to entertain and to make something that is compelling. Now, I was going to say that Deontay Wilder is an example of why maybe it's good to just cast reality TV show stars, because the main thing is that they all know what it's like to be on TV and they all have the common goal, whether it's a competitive or not, is to make compelling TV that people want to watch. But as I was about to say it, I remembered that Deontay did have a reality show. It was on E! I have a recollection of watching it, but I don't know if that plays anything. It was like one season, I think it was, or anything. But he has an idea of what reality show is, because in the reunion where we find out that, you know, it kind of triggered some of his trauma on there. I was going to say, like, when you're on TV for so long, you get to understand the camera and know all the things that it comes with, and then you get used to it and you work through it. So maybe that's why I was going to say they should just stick to the people that are kind of like vets in the reality TV show world, because you kind of know what to expect, I think.
He and there were a couple people who we just never had seen. I'd never seen Deontay Wilder. I'd never seen this man before in my life. And then there was that British politician guy, John. I was like, yeah. Who are you? Honestly, like Sandra, even Bergie, there's a whole lot of people who I'm like, I've never seen you before in my life. So from a viewer perspective, though, it doesn't matter that much, because from the viewer's perspective, you either know these people or you don't know these people. If you know them, you probably are going to root for them or you hate them from stuff they've done before. As far as game playing and like being part of the cast and making good TV, like, I'm sorry, Deontay was not good TV. John was. And I don't know if that's because their lack of experience in front of a camera or the format of the game. I'm not really sure, but they were not good TV. Then at the reunion, they said someone named Max wasn't there. I meant to look it up because I was like, who's Max? Who's Max? What show was he from?
He's from Dancing with the Stars.
Max. Okay. I was like, well, yeah, he was gone pretty early. So that's the other thing. If you leave quickly, you're not going to make much of an impression.
I'm trying to think about what you said. Okay. You're right on one half where, so I've watched them. I know them. And I was trying to see if it affected my, who I rooted for or not. And absolutely did, because I'd be a liar if I said I'm not rooting for CTE, but I've been watching Bananas. I'm not rooting for him, but I guess it's because I've been watching them, so I'm biased in different ways. But I think I didn't mean from a viewer's perspective. I just meant in terms of, like, so we don't have people dropping out in that way, because they were lucky where maybe it's just one of him, but imagine if they cast like a number of them and they're just like, I can't do this anymore. Like, this is too much. Oh, I feel guilty or something. And then you drop out. Then that kind of affects the show, because then you have the number of people, like maybe the banishment, the number of kills that is completely thrown off by the number. I think that's what I meant by being used to that kind of environment.
Just to be clear, Deontay quit?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's what I meant by murdered. No. That's what I meant by I think he mentioned it in, they never addressed it on the show, which I thought was weird. But okay. But he did say it in the reunion. Like, it was too much for him. He didn't like that. I think when I can't remember. I want to say it was Peppermint, but I'm not sure. That was really early on. Who left and he voted for them because he was always wrong. And he just felt like you're just, you know, throwing all these accusations at people. And he said it triggered, I think some interview I listened to, it triggered some trauma for him, like growing up. And maybe, I'm just guessing, maybe he was accused of doing something or I don't know. He didn't like it and he wasn't comfortable with it. So he quit the show, but they never actually said it. But also, you do know he's like a, I don't know if famous, but like a boxer.
Yeah, yeah, because they told me he was a boxer. Okay. And then when I think of the people like that who come on, I'm like, oh, I mean, a show like any TV show wants to have something for everybody. I know, yeah. I don't know who he is, but I'm sure he has a fandom that they're like, oh, he's on a show? Let me check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So that's what I meant.
I you said he's been on a show before, but I also think these shows where, like, they stick you somewhere, you can't leave, you can't have your cell phone. I think that's like a different type of filming experience than even some people are used to.
No, absolutely. Which is why that really is the difference between the gamers and the non-gamers. So he's in the non-gamers, but I can't even compare him to like a housewife. If you've been a housewife for 13 years, you kind of know the game. His show was like just like one season. That it's so forgettable that I don't even think people will remember. I don't even remember the name. I just know he had a show, but I wouldn't even count him as a reality show star, to be honest. So I don't even think he has the chops to go for reality shows. But going to the cast was leaked, the cast was announced. I was so excited because I felt that there were a number of villains that were cast. And because there were a number of villains, it's very easy to speculate on them being traitors. I didn't know who was going to be a traitor, but I thought they might go the other way around. I figured that one of Dan, Sandra, Parvati, Janelle Bananas were going to be traitors, and I thought they would do like a whole 180 and maybe do Bergie. Because Bergie's from Love Island, USA. Bergie was like this innocent. He was a manager at Dairy Queen. He came in. He couldn't get any girl. All the guys were mad at him. They felt like he was like, you know, spilling the tea, the girls' business, the boys' business to the girls. And he was just like, as you can see, like he's, what we're seeing is the glowed up version of Bergie. Because Bergie was just like what you would call like the nerd. He ended up with a girl that honestly, we did not even think she liked him. We just thought she wanted to be with him to stay, but they're still together now. So I guess it wasn't an act. So I thought they would go that route, like because he's so innocent looking and no one would suspect that he would be a traitor. So I thought that. And then I thought Tamara. I did not think Phaedra because I didn't think they would want to create like this stereotype after Siri. So I didn't think they would have another Black woman as a traitor.
But I also, I mean, if people are watching the show and studying the show, which I think a lot of these people do, and the makers of the show are trying to throw you off, it's almost like at this point they would have to have another Black woman as a traitor because no one would ever guess that you would have three in a row.
Three?
Yeah, Siri, Phaedra, and whoever the third one is.
Oh, you mean for the third season?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you're watching and you're like, oh, they made Siri. Demographics-wise, I feel like you have to... First off, I don't think there's really any way to guess how they're going to pick who's going to be a traitor. I wonder even if they tell Alan who to tap, whose shoulder to tap on, or if he literally just goes around and is like, ah, one, two, three. It almost doesn't matter.
they absolutely tell him who to tap. Alan has not heard of half of these people. He said that on Jimmy, one of the Jimmies. But he absolutely had never heard of these people before. They have to think it out. They have to see what is the best case scenario, who does what. Like, we can see how they chose two people. And unlike last season where we had three traitors from the beginning, but they let both of them choose who the third person was going to be. He wears an earpiece in his ear, so they absolutely tell him who he's gonna tap. So yeah, so it was very interesting to see who they were gonna pick. I almost feel like Dan was a shoo-in. If by any means, I don't want to, I could go on and on and on. So I'm just going to, if there's anyone you want a backstory on, just ask me and I will go on there. But I think I kind of felt like Dan, there was no way Dan was not going to be a traitor. Like, it would just be a disservice if he was not going to be a traitor. But unfortunately, I don't think Dan lived up to the hype. And for some of us, we haven't seen Dan in 10 years. So I think he was a little bit rusty.
Hence why he did so bad at it.
And it's so funny because I was apologizing for him. Everyone was like, he's so bad, he's so bad. I was like, yeah, he's so bad. But every week he's still here, until he wasn't. But I think his biggest mistake was laying so low and not throwing out a name. I'm like, how can you not throw out a name? Like, you're so suspicious right now. Like, it's so obvious that you're a traitor. And I don't know why he went that route.
But do you think, what I find interesting is who is supposed to call names and who's supposed to not? Because there are people who were on for so long that we barely saw. Like, the first few episodes, we barely saw. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you make can be in your hands today with Earn In. Earn In is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earn In app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Summer is coming and it is time for all of us to go on vacation. You can use the money you earn from Earn In to buy a new bathing suit or some new clothes for your fun summer vacation.
Download Earn In today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earn In app, type in AltaCall on the podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's AltaCall on the podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earn In is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Sheree or MJ. And I think it's because neither one of them was calling out anybody for being a traitor either. But no one really expected much of them. So them not saying anything, no one really was like, oh, they're not calling out traitors. And even with Dan, it took a while for people to be like, you don't say nothing.
His reputation precedes him. Sheree,
exactly.
Sheree, we know, is, how can I delicately say this? Dumb. So there's no expectation there. But with Dan, people expect you. They know you're savvy. They're expecting you to say stuff. So he absolutely has to say something. Sheree doesn't say anything. We can easily say, like, Sheree has no idea what is going on. But you cannot say that about Dan. So Dan has to throw out a name with everybody else. And I think it's a disservice that Janelle knew him. Because the other thing, which is why I think Sandra played, she didn't win, but I do think that Sandra kind of played the best game. And what's so great about traitors is it's equal opportunity. You could play a good game, but then there's banishment and then there's kill. So it's just also a game of luck. But I think Sandra played the best game with the whole, the coin name. I love the coin name Traitor Angel, where you stay close to the traitors and then those traitors protect you because they like you. Because she knew, if you watch some of the post interviews or interviews, I don't know who's lying.
She knew Phaedra was the traitor. Exactly. I've been thinking about it a lot because if you're, I agree with you that Sandra played the best game. I almost feel like we should skip to the end.
we can go anywhere. It's freestyle.
I feel Sandra played the best game. And while I actually was pissed off when MJ was screwed over like that, the reason why she ended up in that position is because she didn't play the best game.
Yes.
Sandra, this is something else that Sandra said where I knew like, oh God, Sandra's a gamer. Because when they showed that clip of Sandra arranging the cue balls, they edited out the part where I said, even if there's traitors in our number, if we are the bigger number, we can control this game. I felt bad that Sandra had such useless people for allies.
Yes. I love that scene because Sheree is concentrating so hard, but you can tell like, what? What does this mean? I have no idea. I think Kate might be the only one who understood what was happening when she used the balls to explain. But yes, I think that that's my criticism for, which is why I don't understand why MJ was so mad, because a lot of the non-gamers did not have a strategy, including Phaedra, I will say.
Thank you.
I know everybody wants to say what Phaedra did is have good one-liners, provide high entertainment value, but someone like MJ, because when you go to the end, boo-boo, change the name and just write CT, and you could have won. But you wrote Chichelle's name again. Like, anyways. And she just kept saying...
MJ's mistakes was not just writing CT's name. Let's swing it back to when she banished Sandra instead of identifying Kate as a traitor. That was her first mistake, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And she just was so generally, cool. That whole alliance screwed it up by not sticking together. They were a bad alliance. That alliance should have protected Phaedra and taken her further so that they could protect each other. Ugh.
And lest I forget, guys, I told Ada I had to get this off my chest. The North never forgets. Like, I'm glad that Phaedra is having this renaissance and everybody loves her and all that stuff. I will never, because I am Team Candy till I die, I will never forget what she did. I will never minimize what she did. I will always remember what she did. And that scene when she got voted out, when CT was like, I knew that you were here to be someone so far away from who you are. I'm like, my poor baby does not know who this woman is. Like, she has done some villainous things. She is not far from who she is. She's comfortable because she's playing herself. So I'm glad for the entertainment value and all of that stuff, but I definitely, absolutely was not rooting for her. I wanted her to be voted out so bad. Like, I couldn't wait for her to be voted out.
Oh, I mean, I also, Team Candy, think Phaedra's the devil. But I also didn't care for Parvati. I didn't care for Dan. I don't like Trishel. I'm not, based on this show alone, I get it. Everybody loves CT. I don't. So I was rooting for Phaedra. I didn't want her to win the whole thing, but I did want, I sort of, as a group, I wanted someone from Bravo to win. But they just didn't have a chance against people who actually know how to play a game.
How am I supposed to keep recording with you when you didn't like CT? Like, what am I supposed to do with that information?
You can do what you want. I've never seen this man before. Well, I'm sure I saw him on the challenge in an episode or two in my youth. In the show, you know what? We should talk about the physical challenges, which are the part of the show that I just do not care about.
Okay.
Because everybody's like, CT's so good at the challenges. Like, that's his legacy. That's what he's good at. Okay. I don't really enjoy the challenges on this show. I almost want to fast forward through them.
Understood, but it's the only way to earn the money that they're going to share. Because, funny enough, it's funny, like, it's for the fun of the show. Because, honestly, the money that they won, I think he said this and it's true. He has given away more than what he won on the traders. And it's really not that much. So the fact that he fought so hard for it lets me know that for sure that it was just having fun with it. Because that final challenge, they would have had no money. if he wasn't there. So I know he kept saying, I don't know why he kept saying, I haven't been on TV for so long. It's just been 2 years. Actually, no, it's not. He was just on the most recent season of The Challenge, not a full season. They brought the champions in. But just a sidebar fun fact kind of time, he kept saying, I had a good time with this, I had a good time with this. For those of you who don't know, CT is going through like a really, really hard divorce. I think it's finalized now. Like, I've never heard of somebody file for 6 different kinds of alimonies. But she did. And she just wanted a lot for him. And it's just been a contentious divorce. And when I got to meet CT in February, and this man can go on and on and on, like, especially on podcasts. So it was very interesting to see him quiet at the reunion. But when I was speaking to him, he said that he didn't want to come back on The Challenge because it's not fun and it's too long and he has things that he needs to take care of. He needs something, you know, really short. And I spend half my time trying to convince him he needs to come back to The Challenge 40 or try All Stars. It's just 2 weeks. So I think this was a really good opportunity for him. It was 2 weeks. It was a good reset. He got to have fun with it. So I think that's what he meant, because all the podcasts I've been listening to have been saying, why does he keep saying that he hasn't been on TV and he hasn't had a good time? Like, he's been winning. So what does that mean? But I think that's like, it was just glad for me that he had a good time. And I think Johnny Bananas going first was a good thing for CT.
Well, everybody, I mean, I'm not familiar with all of it, but it sounds like if he had not gone first, it would have been like the CT and Bananas show.
I think I would have been curious to see why Dan chose Bananas over CT. Like, I think both reasons, like, whatever reason he had would have worked for both of them. Because I don't think Phaedra was protecting him by then.
Oh, no. Phaedra was... Let's talk about Phaedra and her non-strategy. The part of the reason why no one figured out anything about Phaedra till Dan dropped her name is because she was allowing Parvati and Dan to pick all of the people who they were murdering. Yeah. She just sat there and was like, oh, murder who you want. And then, of course, that was actually, okay, that was kind of a good strategy. Because yeah. They weren't her murders, no one could really tie her to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. That was a good strategy. But, like, is it a strategy she thought of or a strategy she kind of fell into?
I'm going to say fell into, because the first time she had an opportunity to do strategy, she picked Kate, which was an awful, awful choice. She should have picked Sandra. She even could have picked MJ, CT, Trishelle. Anybody would have been better than Kate. And I did not enjoy Kate this season as much as I did last season.
How do you feel about bringing back someone or someone coming in late in the game? Like, I don't like understand that. Why she came in. Like, is it because Deontay left, or was that always the plan that Kate was going to come in?
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to wonder what they thought would have been different about that. But
if you come in halfway through, this is my feeling. If you come in halfway through of anything, I don't want you to win. And then if you're a late trader, I don't want you to win either. Like last year with Ari, where he just basically had to quit because he was outfoxed by Siri.
Yeah,
I was very happy because I just don't think that you should be able to win if you come in halfway as a traitor or if you come in halfway to the show.
Yeah, I can understand that. I can understand that. As much as Dan played a very not so great game, and everyone I think has been criticizing him for this, I appreciate him shining light on Phaedra. I think it kind of opened the game up a bit. I think it was fun.
I think last year I was confused a little bit about why the traders decided to not turn on each other. Because if you want to win the money, two of you got to go.
Yeah.
So I agree with you that traders throwing each other under the bus is good. I think the part that I kind of liked how Parvati was like, oh, it's one of the housewives is probably a traitor. I loved all of that. Phaedra being like, we're supposed to be loyal, basically. It wasn't Dan turning on Phaedra. It was the way he turned on Phaedra. Like, if he had done it in conversations or that kind of thing, I was like, oh, that's good strategy. But to do it at a round table out of nowhere, I didn't like that.
But he was turning on her to give them a hint. Dan knew he was going. He knew he was going. So it wasn't a thing to save himself. It was just like, no one is going to look at her unless I do that. So that part, I think, was kind of iffy. Like, why was his allegiance to Parvati and not Phaedra? He kind of picked Parvati over Phaedra, but he started with Phaedra. So what was that about, sir? Like, it seems like both of them were against her, too. Because Parvati was like, oh, the housewives, blah, 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 blah. So, I don't know. It seemed like maybe they were ready for Phaedra to leave. They were going to turn on her first.
She lasted a long time after Dan turned on her, though. A long time. I just, like I said, I wish Phaedra would have had better strategy. I feel like it's very, very easy. It's a risk, but it's very, very easy for Phaedra to murder Trishel and then say, if I was the traitor, I would have never murdered Trishel. Y'all would have known it was me. Clearly someone else is trying to put the light on me by murdering Trishel.
Yeah.
I could not, for the life of me, could not figure out why Phaedra wouldn't do that. Even when she was targeting her in that one challenge, I feel like it's perfectly fine to say, I'm a faithful and this person keeps on accusing me of being a traitor. So I kind of want them out, whether they're a traitor or a faithful, because they keep on shining light on me. I don't like her. But instead, she's the thing with Trishel really bothered me, because I felt like Phaedra could have dealt with her in multiple different ways. And she just let her stay, running her mouth, saying, Phaedra's a traitor. Phaedra's a traitor.
That is one person that I'm so surprised didn't get killed. Everybody kept coming up with different excuses, and I just don't understand. Trishel should have been killed a long time ago. She was very vocal about everything. She was the one who picked up on Dan sending a message that this is it. She was part of the Peter Pals, and she was just, like, annoying. I'm not a Trishel fan, and much like Phaedra, the North always remembers. She had an incident on the challenge. One could call it racist against Anissa. Granted, she did apologize. There was a show that was done a few years ago, and she apologized and said she didn't. All well and good until we see what she did to Peppermint, and that just made me annoyed all over again. And I don't know if that was strategy.
That wasn't strategy. And I will say, something I liked about this season over last season is people were more, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Like, when someone gets really confident, I'm like, oh, look at you, Quentin. Because I'll never forget Quentin with his confidently wrong so many times in a row. And there really wasn't anybody like that this season, which I appreciated.
What? Even MJ? She kept saying, like, no. I know in my gut that this person is the... No. We had MJ. We had Shirai. We had Kevin. Kevin had no idea what was going on. He was just going along Peter's ride.
The group was more cohesive about their voting. And so MJ, even if MJ had wrong instincts, she would still tend to vote with the group. But back to Peppermint, because we need to get on that. Everything about that bothers me. Trishel's dumbass. That pissed me off. John at the reunion with his nonsense after he's one of the people who voted her out. The whole Peppermint thing really pissed me off. And it really started off the season on a bad note.
Yes. I agree. Like, there is a phenomenon on competitive reality shows where it's getting old, but every time the black people, the minorities are the ones that are being voted out first, and it gets really, really frustrating. There's I watched Survivor with a friend, and I think last season or whatever, she's like, I don't think I can continue this, because like in a row, like 1, 2, 3, it was just like all the black people. And then they come up with like, there's just something, they look different. Oh, I don't have anything in common with them. I was like, oh, I wonder what it is. So that whole thing of Trishel saying like, oh, she said this, she said that, and that blowing that up, and it was not nice. But I'm glad that she got a chance to speak her piece at the reunion.
And Andy was all like, oh, you made an impact even with the, you know, your short time. And it's like, you guys kicked her off the first episode. Like, I don't need Andy Cohen patting her on the back to make her feel better about something that was done wrong to her.
Yeah. And I don't know. Trishel sees things very differently. She's such a frantic woman, because I remember when CT decided to light Jun's fire and not her. And she made this whole big deal. And then he went to her. He was like, are you mad at me? I'm sorry, blah, 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 blah. But then she went ahead, and when she was talking with the girl, she was like, he hasn't even come up to me. He wouldn't say anything to me. He hasn't talked to me. And I'm like, am I blind? Did I not see that? And then she blows that up and makes that such a big deal. And that's another thing that bothered me. This whole brother-sister friendship, they haven't spoken. I'm sorry. They haven't spoken. CT is one of the few people who doesn't like associate with the people from the challenge. He just does the challenge, gets out, and that's it. Trishelle has not been on the challenge since, like, oh my God, I can't remember how many years ago. And when she left, she was mad because it was during CT's terrible times and he was still fighting. And I think he broke a glass that she said cut her feet or whatever. She's like, I can't work in this environment, whatever. But this whole brother, sister, the only person I trust, I'm like, where, whence from, guys? Because you guys, I don't think, have been in contact. He lives in Miami. She's in New Orleans. I don't know. I feel like that was played up.
And this is another where people's alliances, I'll give CT and Trishelle this. Whatever relationship they had, they used it well on the show. Mm-hmm. Unlike people like Phaedra and Sheree, who... Basically, Phaedra protected Sheree, and once Phaedra was gone, Sheree was gone too. That wasn't an alliance where both people are working angles and working. That's what I don't like them, but I do want to see if you're going to come in with an alliance, do some work. Mm-hmm. Cover your bases with two of you.
I think I just can't understand how you can go on a show called Traitors and confidently say, I'm so sure XYZ is a faithful. I like, the minute you think that, I think you should start suspecting that person.
Let's talk about the winners and how the last little part went down.
Okay. Can we go start from the round table? Okay, kudos to Kate for creating chaos and putting doubt, because Trishelle and CT were going to vote Kate out, but then he changed their mind. But I do think that voting Sandra out was a good move for the eventual winners, Trishelle and CT.
Yes, not a good move for Kate or MJ, who were supposed to be in an alliance together.
But Kate knew that. Okay, sorry, let's go further back. When Kate was voting Phaedra out, what was all the theatrics about?
You're a selfish person. I don't think Kate is a good game player. Last year, Kate showed up and said, I don't want to be here, until they finally kicked her out. This year, she came in midway. She's like, I'm just going to follow the crowd until I figure some stuff out. She never figured anything out. Then Phaedra recruited her to be a traitor. I think her theatrics was, I don't know what it was, but Kate was not playing a good game.
Yeah. So
Kate wasn't playing to win.
She came for entertainment value. Maybe what they were paying her was way more. So she's just like, okay, I can come in, do just 7 days. Sure. I got you. But yeah, so I think that was terrible. And then, you know, I felt so bad for Sandra. She was really fighting the fight, trying to convince them that it was. She's like, my heart is broken. But I don't know. I think it paid off. I can understand why CT voted for her, because it's like, I'm going to get you before you get me. But according to Trishelle, that's what sowed seeds of doubt in her mind about CT.
Was voting for Sandra.
Yes, that was one thing, voting for Sandra. And then at the light thing, because Sandra had been talking to them about traitor angels and all that good stuff. So when he lit the fire for John instead of her, she was like, okay, he must feel so confident because he's a traitor. So he knows that I'm not going to get murdered. So he just saved John on that. And that put doubt in her mind that maybe he is a traitor. Because at that time, they didn't know if there was one traitor left or two traitors left. There was a possibility that there were two traitors. Which is another
thing. The whole last vote with Trishelle and CT, I didn't feel, I mean, there were certain things that they couldn't predict, so they couldn't plan for. I accept that. But I never for one second believed Trishelle thought that CT, I felt like they showed up to that last little thing with the three of them, knowing full well that they were going to get rid of MJ one way or another and take this whole thing.
I thought so too until I heard after, and I don't think so. And mostly CT's face when he saw her face. First of all, I gasped when she turned around and it had CT on there. That's a huge risk to take if they had planned that, because they don't know that MJ is going to write, whose name MJ is going to write. And if MJ had written CT, he would have been gone. That's the reason why I don't think it was planned. Because if that was the plan, that was a huge gamble, not including MJ on that. And then his face when he saw it, I was like, oh shit, this is terrible to do. But also going back a little, I think that's where Kate messed up too. There's four of you. Someone just got banished. It's Sandra's not a faithful. And then you say, let's end the game. Come on. Come on. Which is another thing I think the show messed up on. On the other shows, I think the UK and I think in Canada most recently, the last person in Sandra's position, they don't reveal if they're a traitor or a faithful. And I think they should have kept that.
Because that we need more discord.
Yes. So then you're just paranoid and you have no idea. Is this one more? Is there two more? Did someone get recruited? We have no idea. So I was very surprised when Sandra was going to reveal, because obviously then it's Kate, because that's what everybody thought. And then you move from there. But for the life of me, I don't know why MJ didn't change her votes.
I'm telling you, I felt so bad for MJ. Maybe because I'm watching it like, I know she's a faithful, and it's really a difference between splitting the money three ways and splitting the money two ways. It just felt like CT and Trishelle were in league against MJ, which they were, and I felt bad for her. But then I remembered how MJ got there, and I was like, wait a second. Something, this was a key part of the reunion that I was like, thank you. Because as I was watching the reunion, and I was all pissed off on MJ's behalf, and someone, oh, I forget. Larsa said the thing about, oh, we just want to make good TV and you guys like actually want to win. Someone said, oh, that's why like MJ is so upset and you guys are so upset. It's because you just don't like, we play the game all the time. And I said, no. Half of you people are like, oh, Parvati hates Sandra. CT hates bananas. All of you people hate each other for one reason or another. So don't come at me with this bullshit about how, oh, we just play the game and we're fine. We don't hate each other afterwards. Bullshit.
Bananas and CT don't hate each other. Parvati and Sandra, that is a little, there's a little off-screen drama, not necessarily that. And just because Sandra was the only person to have won twice, and they didn't necessarily play, I mean, they played seasons together, but I do think there's truth to that. Because you have to play with these people over and over. Like, I think what CT said was they're numb to it. You do it multiple times and you screw somebody over and you still have to work together. So you're numb to it. I mean, CT and Johnny were the people taking care of DM before she died. So, I mean, they have a relationship, no matter how much they try to downplay it. So, I mean, CT was the guest on Banana's podcast for his 100th episode. So they don't hate each other. So I think there's some truth to being numb to it, because they screw people over. Banana screwed the girl up famously, take her money. Sarah never came back on the challenge, but he feels no guilt about it. CT always plays numb. He just does what he needs to do and he walks away and he's like, I'm not friends with these people. Like, it is what it is. I would always win, which was why, as much as, okay, they're friends or whatever, he chose to light John's fire over Trishelle. He will always choose the game, no matter what. Where someone like Sheree might know that maybe Phaedra is, but she's like, but that's my girl. We're going to stick together. And emotion will always rule over the game.
That's all fine, well, and good. But to act like MJ should not be pissed, that annoyed me. MJ lost money. And MJ was a faithful who was voted out by these two people who are just like, we're best friends. We came in together. We're going to leave together. I felt like MJ was perfectly entitled to be pissed, and I didn't really enjoy people being like, well, you shouldn't really be pissed.
Well, guys, if you ever had the question if there's a difference, if it makes a difference, if you come in with a clean slate watching these people, or if you come in without, I think this is the best case, because I don't think she should be upset. And I felt the same way about Andy last season. Were you upset at Andy? Or did you understand where she was coming from? Exactly, because you like Siri. So that's what the difference is. Exactly. It's the exact same case. I'm like, you come on a show called The Traitors, not The Friendship. The Traitors. They will betray your ass. That's what the show is about. No. Okay, what is
it? This is my difference, the way I see it.
Okay.
In Andy's case, if Andy wins, then Siri doesn't win.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like Cherie could say, oh, I'll share the money with you. It's either Cherie wins by herself or you guys kick Cherie off and you win. In MJ's case, the three of y'all could have shared that money.
Yes, but
so it was, you were throwing me over thinking, and I don't for one second think that they thought she was a traitor. I don't. And I understand, CT tried to say like, well, why would I risk it? Fair enough.
Yes, but yes. That's what I was about to say. It was an insurance policy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I 99% think it was, but MJ's gut also told her that Sandra was a traitor. Why would I risk it? And then not have any money. So I'm just like, do what you need to do. And also MJ had agency to freaking write CT's name a second time. And she didn't. So no, I do not feel bad about her. You know what's so funny? When they're all writing their names, you can tell who she was writing, because for CT, all he has to write is MJ, two letters. All she has to write is CT, two letters. But when MJ is just like, 1, 2, 3, 4, writes it, you just know she's writing Trisha again. And you're just like, oh, poor baby. So, no, I don't feel bad for her, because it's a game for traitors. You got to put emotions aside, and that's what you need to do. But I never felt, John was a revelation to me, but he was annoying, and I felt like how Phaedra felt at the reunion, where he felt he had to provide commentary on every single person's, anything that they said, he kept chiming in, and I'm like, all right, okay. But, yeah, so I don't know. I was ecstatic. I was screaming. I was so happy. And I'm like, that's my goat. He won on another show. I just wish it didn't include Trishel, but you know, you win some, you lose some.
I was pissed. I've had some days now, so I'm less pissed. But Team MJ, even though I think she brought it on herself. And oh, I'm back to Andy, because I do want to make this point. Andy last year, it wasn't so much that the part where I was like, Andy, you need to get over it, is where she's like to Siri, but I thought we were friends. That's why Andy's nonsense didn't really make much sense, because it's like I thought we were friends defense on a show called Traitors makes no sense. I just don't really believe that CT and Trishel really thought MJ was a traitor, or that MJ was more likely to be a traitor than either one of them.
I mean, that's fair, but hey, he said he was numb to it. I'm going to do what I got to do to win. And this was Andy and Quentin, which was so annoying, especially from Quentin.
Quentin was less annoying about losing than Andy was, though.
Oh, really?
And they also didn't do a reunion, which really, we need that. We really need a reunion. Because the way they ended last season was weird. There was?
Yes, there was.
Did we? Oh.
Yes, there was. Andy hosted the reunion. That's where they were all mad. That's what we're talking about.
I feel like a crazy person. Did I never watch that reunion?
I don't know. Is this going
on? I just remember the season ending and being so happy for Siri, and then it was like so sad. It didn't feel like a celebration. So okay, I need to go back and watch a Traitor season 1 reunion.
Yeah, Andy hosted it and everything. That's where Andy and Quentin kept chiming in and talking about she weaponized, but she told her personal things, and you know, you knew all this about me, you know what I needed the money for, and yeah, and I was like, she did what she had to do. You come in here and it's a risk reward type situation. So I don't know.
I became a Siri fan last year, but I don't know if I became a fan of anybody this year.
Oh, that's interesting. mean, ultimately, I think it was a very entertaining season. I don't know. Everyone's now speculating on cast and who to put in. And I just hope it doesn't become like the quality dips because they're trying to churn it out. Like our favorite Kinetic. Because then we're going to lose sight of stuff because we're just trying to get it out and trying to get money through on Peacock. Because it is a moneymaker for Peacock.
Very popular show. It felt like, yeah. It felt like everybody was watching it. Yeah. But I don't think, I mean, I think a lot of things about the game are fundamentally flawed in terms of like a fair game where everybody has an equal opportunity to win. But it makes a good TV show.
Yes, it does. I think we should give a little shout out to Alan Cumming. I think he's a fantastic host. I think he should absolutely be in the conversation for the Outstanding Host Emmy nominations because as theatrical as he is, it is entertaining. It's good to see what outfit. It's good to see him throw their pictures on the floor in the morning and be so cold about whoever is being killed. And I think he adds a lot to the show.
At a certain point, I felt like Alan Cummings and Phaedra were on one show and everybody else was on another show. In the sense that, like, people act normal, but then Alan does his thing. But then Phaedra matches Alan's energy in everything she does.
Yeah. That's true. She was there for the entertainment value for sure. Did you hear the rumor that Ekin-Su and Peter are dating?
I did hear that.
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to go. She's currently in Celebrity Big Brother UK. So if she goes far, they're not going to see each other for a while. So not sure if it is true.
They kind of referred to it at the reunion and then they quickly let it go. Too quickly.
Yeah, Tamara did her housewives thing and kind of said, oh, didn't she post a picture with Peter's mom? Didn't you go to brunch or something? And I'm like, oh, the housewives, you can never get them out of it. But yeah, if you haven't watched the show, we definitely recommend it. And I think that's all I got. I had one more thought, but I cannot for the life of me remember. Pray for my memory, y'all.
I want Sandra to come back next year.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, why?
A, because she got screwed. B, because I just think it'd be fun to have Sandra back. I think she's really good at this, as a faithful or a traitor. So I'd be happy to see her in either role.
I feel like if she came back, she would be targeted.
Yeah, probably.
And she can't come back and be a traitor because everyone would be like, oh, for sure, she's a traitor this time. So I know everyone's been talking about Bananas coming back. He's so salty that he was first out. But I'm like, no, we're not missing anything. Like, I don't understand why. If anybody should come back, it should be Peppermint, I think.
You're right. You are correct. Peppermint should be able to come back. But we'll see. We'll see who they bring back next year. I also don't think the cast matters that much. Like, I feel like I enjoy the concept of the show no matter who they have on it.
Oh my God, I think it does. I was actually going to ask you, like, if you could pick three people from Bravoverse, who do you think should be on the show?
Sutton would be a riot.
Oh, God, no. Sutton would be so frantic. So frantic. And they would vote her out first.
No, Sutton's not coming anywhere, though, for 60K or whatever. Who would I like from Bravo on here? Ashley Darby or Candace would be amazing. Candace would be amazing on this show. They might kick her out quickly because she'll piss them off.
Her mouth. I think I forget his name now from Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. Preston. I think Preston would be very fun on there. I think Portia would be very fun on there. And I'm trying to think of like what the fringe shows are or whatever. That's enough. Did I mention a housewife? No housewife?
I can't think of a really good housewife who could be a game player.
A game player? No. Oh, this is a point that I forgot. Sorry, I know we're about to sign out. I was pleasantly surprised by Marcus. They were good to let him go because he was right and spot on with all his notices. And honestly, the one person that I think did have a strategy was Larsa, except that her mouth always gets her in trouble because when she said, like, the men who feel threatened and alpha male or whatever. But I do think, like, Marcus was smart, but I'm not a Marcus fan right now. He was so annoying in the Miami reunion. But yes, he was a pleasant surprise. I was like, oh, it's good to know he speaks.
Do you know what really tripped me out about the Miami reunion? Is like, we keep on going to backstage and Marcus is there. And I'm thinking to myself, when are they going to bring the guys out for this reunion? And then we finished the reunion and they never brought the guys out. I was like, what has this man been doing here all day?
Just making comments, I guess. But it's something I noticed. And I think we talked about it somewhere. I can't remember what show it is. But I don't know why Bravo makes the Black Housewives show male-focused. Atlanta has husbands come out. Potomac has husbands come out, and Married to Medicine has husbands come out, but it's not the same for the other counterparts. I don't know what that means, but it's just something I noticed.
Potomac hasn't... Does Potomac have a husband segment every year? It depends, right?
Well, now that they don't have husbands, but usually yes. They have everyone, but Giselle never has anyone. But Chris is out. Ray is out. Monique's husband, Sam, used to come out then. But now that they don't, I mean, Michael Darby used to come out. Yes. It's just that no one has husbands now.
No one has husbands the way Jersey has husbands.
Well, they're cast members, so they get paid.
Anyways, Miami, no husband, so good for them, I guess.
No,
which is weird because almost everybody has a husband. I think that's the confusing part. Like, I can understand if more than 50% of the cast doesn't have a husband or a boyfriend, then why would we have husbands? But I feel like Miami, over 50% of the cast has a man, but they're not part of the storyline except for Marcus. Anyways.
But I mean, I guess that's my point, is I don't know why they reserve it for just the Black Housewives shows. Because it's a case for Miami, but they don't. All right, guys. Well, if you haven't watched, it's streaming on Peacock. You can watch season 1, season 2, and I think they have the UK on there. And they just started streaming episodes for the UK seasons, which I heard is so good. And I will find some time to start watching that too. So till the next bonus episode, thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.